Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Move Podcast, talking about the 2022 Ironman World Championships, the men's and the women's race. Of course, that's not the order we're going to go in. It's kind of a unique year. Up until this year, the race was contested on one day. Everybody competed together. I want to get into why they split the race up. I actually think it's a great idea, but I want to hear sort of the backstory on why that all came about. I am joined by our 2012 Ironman World Champion down there in Miami, Florida, Leanda, winning all the awards for the audio setup cave. Thank you.
Yeah, Leanda. That's right.
That's right. You, I mean,
these look good.
Gold star. Yeah. The headphones look good. The mic sounds amazing. And we are joined by my old friend, one of my best buds, one of the coolest dudes to ever come into my life, and a triathlon legend. And actually over there in Kona, Jimmy Riccitiello, the man the world has now seen in a Speedo more than he's ever been shown before.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, Jimmy.
It's a pleasure.
Fill
me with the Speedo, man.
Yeah. That was the old, you know, back in our day, man. Back in our day, we did triathlons and Speedos.
And
I'm Lance Armstrong. I'm sitting here as I was yesterday for the coverage of the Tour of Lombardia and the Hour Record and Gravel Worlds. I'm sitting here. I'm still in Boulder, man, right here at the outside, as you can see right above me at the outside world headquarters. I'm hopefully going to go home tonight. Anna just keeps wanting to stay down here. Like, she's like, I love Boulder, and Grace is here and she loves Boulder. And today's show brought to you by Zwift. All right, it's that time of year, you know, the winter's setting in, the snow's about to start falling in Aspen, Colorado, where I'm spending my life full time now. We Do Wednesdays are back, Suffer Sundays are back. Zwift makes indoor training fun. They also have the new Hub Direct Drive Trainer, which was just launched, apparently sold out like hotcakes. So make sure you join the wait list over at Zwift.com. Also, as we're talking about the Ironman today, big factor in the triathlon world. Zwift is a key training tool for triathletes too. Here's a fun fact. Zwift founder John Mayfield created the initial beta of Zwift on triathlon forum Slow Twitch. Who knew? Head on over to Zwift.com for a free trial to find out more. Also today brought to you by Element. This is our go-to hydration source. And to repeat, we're talking about the Ironman, one of the toughest events in the world, safe to say, hot, humid, terrible conditions. I'd love to get a stat on just how much Element was being used over there. This is our go-to hydration source, 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, 60 milligrams of magnesium, no sugar, no gluten, no artificial ingredients, no BS. It is the real deal. Special offer for our listeners, get a free sample pack so you can get in there and dial in your different flavors, all the stuff you like. Head on over to drinklmnt.com/themove. Again, that's drinklmnt.com/themove. Get a free sample pack and we go from there. No, and by the way, no obligation. You don't like it? Give it to a friend. Anyways, let's talk about the Ironman. I think at a very high level, this game has changed, right? This was an event that started as almost a dare, right? You had these guys that said, well, what if we cobbled together and just, you know, and I think I got the history right here. What if we took, you know, an event that they had in Hawaii at the time, some open water swim, which was a standalone event. And then there was probably a century on one of the other islands. And then of course in Honolulu, there was probably a marathon. And these guys said, well, what if we just did them all in one day? And people thought they were absolutely fucking crazy. And that's how it started. And it was truly just this dare and this test that nobody thought anybody could finish. And now we are seeing gals and guys. I mean, it almost feels like a sprint to me now. And I'm sort of talking about this in the context of 30 or 40 years, but it feels to me, I want to ask you, Leanda, it feels like just in the last 2 to 3 to 4 years, this game has totally changed.
Well, with the exception of the pause through COVID, sure, there's definitely been a shift. And I would say there's obviously triathlon as a whole has grown. And I think athletes are coming to the sport from different backgrounds, not just solely as triathletes. And we see in particular, I feel the speed on the bike and the run has definitely become much faster than we've ever seen historically in the sport. And I think, yes, we can say that's in part technology. I mean, we do see some significant changes in the run shoe technology that a lot of the athletes are using today. We also notice the bikes have in somewhat changed. You know, we are using disc brakes, not that that makes a huge, if any, performance benefit, but there's definitely changes. And I think also, you know, we're also looking at some evolution in sports nutrition. And, so, you know, there's a whole combination of things that are contributing to the speeds of the sport getting much faster than we've ever seen before. And also we have had some pretty good weather for this race. I mean, Jimmy's there, he can tell you, but from what I understand, the weather conditions were pretty favorable for this year.
Well, it's of course, and Jimmy, you tell us how it was, not just, and to kind of retouch on what we talked about. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, they split up the men and the women this year. And I think I understand the reasoning behind that, but the women, all of the women, the professional women, the age group women, all women raced on Thursday and then the men raced on Saturday. So, you know, those are 48 hours difference. The conditions on that island, I know that island very well, can completely change, but this is an island that is famous for wind and famous for just, I mean, when you get to Hobie, you're coming down, and just in all of my years, I've probably been to Hobie on a bike, I don't know, 300 times, 275 of those with Jimmy Riccitiello. I mean, it's that type of place where you really feel like you're sort of at the end of the earth in this weird way. And the wind can fucking absolutely howl. Like, and then you throw in being on aero bars and on disc wheels and deep dish rims and things like that, that is absolutely terrifying. To Leanna's point, like Thursday and Saturday, just high level, what were the winds like?
Leanna's right. It was overall a good year. I think the Thursday's athletes, the women had a rougher swim. It was choppy and the swell was typical. Winds were relatively light. They still got them, mostly on the return. And now with this earlier start, I think, Leanna, when you went in 2012, you started at 7-ish.
Yeah.
We're starting the pros at 6:25. It's dark. So that gets them to Javi maybe ahead of the winds sometime now. And so that's also, I think, part of why the times are faster, a part of why the times are faster. But it was a light wind day, drier on Thursday and more humid on Saturday. I would say overall, to me, it felt cooler on Saturday. So yeah, it was super favorable conditions on Saturday for the men. And I think that's also a big part of why you saw fast collectively, you know, fast time. So it was a really fast bike and a really fast run versus, you know, maybe a slow bike, fast run. It was just good conditions all the way around.
Wow.
We did not have the 45 degree angle bike day that you had 250 of those times that you rode up there.
Right. I wasn't even factoring in the conditions of the water. I mean, here you are. I mean, this is a true open water swim. Like, this is not the things that most of us are used to when you think about open water swims. And then you factor in, you know, starting at 6:25 when it's dark. A lot of people must have been like, where are the guys in the gray suits?
I wouldn't be getting there.
No, I mean, that's a scary time of day to get in the water.
Yeah, it is. And calmer though, right?
Yep.
Typically the wind doesn't kick up, and and also the tide. I think we had a lower high tide, an unfavorable tide for the women, and a later tide, 10:30-ish versus 7:30-ish. And, yep. But you saw that in the swim, right? It was spread out for the women.
It was unusually slow as well.
Slow. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say Lucy typically comes out under 50 quite easily, 50 minutes. And I mean, she was hitting it closer to 51 this year.
It was tough. And 25 guys or 20 guys got out of the swim together in the men's race, and another 15 or 20 right behind them. You don't see that size of a lead group often at the pro level even. So the swim was impactful this year. The conditions affected the race.
So let's talk about the women's race, because Chelsea Sodaro, I love the fact that she's from Davis, California. Of course, growing up in this sport as a young kid, it was really the first sport that I was truly obsessed with. And so, and Jimmy, you know this, you were with me at that time and part of that generation. You had the big four, right? You had Mark Allen, you had Scott Tinley, you had Dade Scott, and you had Scott Molina. Of course, you know, the best of all of those at the Ironman for the longest time was Dave Scott from Davis, California. Here we now have another great from Davis, California, Chelsea Sodaro. And I love this story. Has a daughter 18 months ago as an American. This is the first time that an American has won since 1995. It's a long ass time ago. But what a spectacular performance. Amazing runner. Ran track and field at UC Berkeley. Ran professionally, so obviously has the run chops. Clearly along the way figured out how to swim 2.5 miles and ride a bike for 112. But what a dominating form. Wins by 8 minutes. I mean, 8 minutes is a long, that's a big victory.
Yeah, it's a very impressive win by Chelsea. And I think she caught a lot of people by surprise. This was only her second Ironman. She did qualify by racing in Hamburg, where she was second behind Laura Phillips, who was also on my radar as a podium potential athlete out there. And actually in Hamburg, Chelsea only ran 3 hours. And I say only because in Kona, which you know, the conditions are much harder. She ran a 2:51, I think it was, out there on Thursday. So,
yeah.
I mean, she really stepped up and just exceeded herself, her own probably expectations. But I also was really impressed because leading into this race 5 weeks earlier, she came down with the flu. So, you know, she was kind of in this kind of gray area. I mean, she had pretty much very little pressure to perform. And I think that actually lent itself to for her to have the race of her life out there on Thursday.
Unbelievable.
She was fierce. And like you guys were talking about earlier about the sport changing, the speed changing. And I remember watching Marinda Carfrey in St. Croix the first time she did it, and thinking that it looked like she was in a sprint triathlon compared to the athletes of our era. And I'll never forget that. I mean, she sprinted that, and that's in really hard course, but she sprinted the entire run. I just remember looking at, you know, just the output, you know. She was sprinting, and watching Chelsea on the run, I mean, early, you know, she put the hammer down early, and it's a noticeable difference.
And Jimmy, where are you? I'm really curious. Like, are you on a moto watching this? Like, the way you're describing this, is this, are you standing on the side of the road? Or are you watching on TV? How close are you to that action?
On the run, I was on a scooter I wasn't with the leaders the entire time. I was floating around, but on the bike, kind of a position behind the pros just to observe the officials and help with keeping the media the print media out of that live stream bubble. And it allows me to see a lot of the race. I'm seeing different portions of it, but close, you know, close enough to see, you know, notice some body language stuff and see a little bit of the strategies, or at least my impression of them.
cool story too. So this is a family operation. I love this as well. Obviously we talked about her having a daughter 18 months ago. But her dad is her SAG support when she trains. Her mom helps take care of the baby while she trains. Her husband's a firefighter. And this is the crew. Like, this is the team. When you think of, and of course, yesterday we talked about Tour of Lombardia and the hour record, and you're talking about Filippo Ganna, you know, riding almost 57 kilometers an hour, and the amount of support, quote unquote support, that he has, high level science and, you know, the most sophisticated scientific support you could have in endurance sport. And here now we're talking about a lady who dominates the Ironman, wins by 8 minutes. And what's her support crew? Dad running SAG, mom taking care of the baby, husband fighting fires. Like, fuck, you gotta love that.
It's a good story.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing too. Like, you find a way, you make it work. And I think actually, I mean, I'm not saying I don't have kids, so I can't really like compare myself to Chelsea, but I do think having a little distraction there is is actually a blessing sometimes. Like, a lot of athletes seem to get so entrenched in the training and the sport, and they don't really kind of escape from that. And I think it's a healthy shift having something other than the sport to focus on every now and then. Right. Not that it's probably helpful when you've got a, you know, 18 month old crying in the middle of the night when you've got to get up at 4 a.m.
The poor, like her poor husband is like, could somebody just start a fire? Yeah. You know, this is like, I need to, but she had a great quote after the race. Somebody asked her what the rest of her season would be like, or the next few months. And she said, you know, I'm going to go back to being a mom, which,
yeah.
I mean, you dominate a race like this that I think has completely changed. Jimmy, just as a reminder, you know, you were there with me when I was sort of having this run up, trying to qualify for Kona, and us just doing the math around what would it take for me to do well in Kona. Let's not say when, but to do well, right? So, you know, if you swim with the first group, which we could do, you ride 4.5 hours and then try to take it easy and maybe run 2:45, and you might have a shot. She almost does all of that. She almost does all of that. And this is not that long ago. She ran 2:51. Like, if somebody would have said, okay, Lance, you do all those things and you're going to run 2:51. I said, take it. I'll take that deal. Like, that's a good deal. It's a different game. Different game.
And back to your point earlier, Lance, like you mentioned, this woman who started the sport, probably, you know, later than most of her competition, right? Like, she, in 2016, she was still a pro runner. And now today she's this professional triathlete winning in the Ironman. And she was only 4 minutes down off the swim. And meaning, like, she also biked exceptionally well with a 4:42. I mean, that's like stuff like some of these girls have been striving to do for several years, and she's managed to accomplish this within the first year of racing Ironman.
Yeah. Jimmy, was there anything? Well, I guess I'm a little curious too, with how much do you in splitting up the fields and racing the women on Thursday, racing the women or men on Saturday, so completely separating them, how big of an impact, and you're the only one who can answer this because you were there, how much did that change the dynamic of the professional women's race?
Well, I think it was nice to not have any interference from age group men for
of course,
the first time ever. I think
we're talking about drafting or potentially, or just at least getting caught up in any borderline gray area, penalty zone for drafting.
Yeah. And you know, the rules are different between the age groupers and the pros. So there's that. And then it's also confusing because there's subtle differences to the rules, and the age groupers, the age group men that got into the pro women's field did their thing, and the pro women had a separate thing, you know, that they had to adhere to. And it was not ideal, but it was what it was when we, you know, you only have X amount of spaces on the pier and you only have X amount of time to get people in the water and onto the bike course. But so I think it was impactful. positive way, just because they had their own day. They're the level of scrutiny, you know, now you've got referees that aren't split in half between the men's field and the women's field, which is good and bad, depending on whether you got a penalty, or not.
we know what you were trying to say there. Go ahead.
And, you know, but it, I think it was a really, really cool thing. And we did have to chuck some men into the mix just because of the deferrals, over the pandemic and the cancellations. You know, again, we've got about 2,500 slots on that pier. So there's a terminal, you know, that's it. That's all we can fit. And so we had to get it even on both days, around 2,500 each day. We had to put some men at the back end. We gave them 25 minutes. The men still, age group men still got into to age group women's field, but much less than before. Mm-hmm. And in 2023, it'll be a women's day and a men's day. And that's going to be, in my opinion, awesome. Although I'm not going to lie, man, I'm tired. Two Ironmans in two Ironmans in 3 days is, I feel like I did the race.
Okay. So let me get this straight. We were talking about athletes who actually swam 2.5 miles, rode 112 and ran a marathon, and they're tired. Okay. So you sat on the back of a motorcycle for the bike and sat on the back of a scooter for the run. And you're trying to tell us that you're exhausted.
Well, big part of me, you know, I mean,
Leanda.
He's like, now you put it that way.
can we just have a gut check here, a realization that
the back end of these things, the amount of heavy lifting it takes to get to which to your point, you know, I wasn't directly involved with all of that, but I'm tired. But I'm telling you, man, the amount of work that the ops team did is, and I'm tired because I'm old. You know,
yeah,
and
you're tired of signing autographs after that Speedo picture. Before we go to the men's race, Leanda, I just want to ask you, because you're training. I love people like you that just can't get enough. And here you won the Ironman 10 years ago. We've ridden a bunch over the years, and I sort of felt like you were just kind of, you know, just training for fun and just training for just stay fit. And, but now no. Leanda's training for the Ultraman, which is a double Ironman in, what is it, in November?
It's November and it's over 3 days. So it's not like, you know, I'm not doing literally an Ironman twice in one day.
Right. I know, but the way it's, so, and I've followed this over the years. So the swim is obviously double. So you have 4.8 mile swim. And then there is a portion of the bike that is ridden and you're going basically around the Big Island. You take a pause. The second day is the rest of the bike portion, which gets you to, I think, Javi.
Yeah. Actually, technically the two bikes together is longer because the first one is 90 miles and the second one is 170. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So that now that's, but then you got to finish with a double marathon. Right. So yeah, let's not say it's split up over a few days, but I mean, that shit is, that's just epic. I mean, it's kind of a stage race, but it's a super epic stage race. So, what got into you to want to do that?
Well, you know, my fiance, Maiko, said to me, earlier last year, like, wouldn't it be great if you, got a fifth world title by winning Ultraman? And I was like, what? It's like, right. Damn it, now I'm going to have to do Ultraman. So that's kind of where it started. But last year I got hit by a car door and fractured my pelvis. So that kind of like axed it for a little bit. And then this year I thought I'd take it back up and actually give it a shot. So that's where we're at now. And I honestly think like Ultraman is the Ultraman triathlon. It's the new frontier of long distance triathlon racing. I think now, and we've mentioned it already, how many athletes are now racing and competing in Ironman. It's not as, you know, unknown as it used to be. And I think there's those kind of psychotic people like myself who are kind of like trying to, you know, push that endurance envelope a little bit further and see what else is achievable in that sort of format. So Yeah. So that's what I'll be doing now for a few more months.
God, we'll be tracking that. Good luck.
Thanks.
And we were talking in the pre-show. I got you for winning the overall. Right.
Well, I mean, that's
not the overall women. I mean, I think you're going to smoke all these dudes too.
Yeah. I think I have it in me. I'm not like just, yeah, I'm a pretty confident athlete, but I don't just say that because like, you know, I'm, you know, yeah, trying to make myself look good. I actually feel like I have it in me.
Damn. What do you think, Jimmy? Jimmy's
just I can't get past the 10K swim.
It's far.
That's
it's
far.
It's really far.
That's a really, what does that mean? That's a couple that, of, you know, a couple hours of swimming.
Yeah, it took me 2 hours and I think 10 minutes to do it in Canada. So yeah. It's far. It's a long time to be in the water.
I can't get past running back from Javi either. So
exactly. Starting the run from Javi.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Starting with a downhill run. Yeah. No, I'm out on that. We will live vicariously through you. Today's show also brought to you by HVMN. We talk about this product a lot on the show. We know how ketones have developed over the last 5 to 10 years. A completely new and alternative fuel source, obviously heavily used in the professional peloton and cycling. I have a feeling also heavily used in this field in professional triathlon, not just on the physical side, but also on the mental side. We're talking about improved mental focus, sharpness. It's just all right there. And by the way, too, they've got the taste improved, the effectiveness off the charts, and the cost down. Head on over to hvmn.com and use the promo code THEMOVE20, THEMOVE20. That's 20% off at hvmn.com. And the promo code is THEMOVE20. Last one of the day, Athletic Greens, AKA AG1. Now, this is one that everybody swears by. I love it. George loves it. But all the other smart people, don't take it from us. Listen to Huberman, listen to Atiyah, listen to all these guys. They will tell you AG1 is the way to go. I started taking it just because I don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. I have found essentially a hack for this, better gut health, more energy. And you know what? You don't have to feel so bad about not eating your vegetables. 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens help you start your day off just right. All for less than $3 a day. Let's make this easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/themove. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/themove. Take ownership of your health. Let's talk about the men's race, because this was another one that just... just reading everything I did and watching what I could online. This is a different race. Like these guys are, and I also have kind of followed here lately as they did in the marathon. They did the sub 2 hour, so it was sub two or whatever they call it. This project to try to break the 2 hour barrier for the marathon. They also did that in triathlon. And this guy went, it was a sub 7 project. So he went under 7 hours. Everybody leading into the men's race had this was supposed to be the Norwegian party, which it in fact ended up being. But boy, to see the times, right? Again, going back to Jimmy, to what we were talking about, like LA, if you could swim at the front group and maybe ride 420, 430, hang on in the run, you might have a shot. This guy rides 404. What was his bike?
Laidlow
rides 404. I remember when I won the half Ironman in Florida, I rode 2 hours flat. And I thought I was just, I mean, that's 28 miles an hour. I thought I was like, fuck, nobody is ever going to. This guy does this on the Big Island, 4112, rides. That's the same. 2 hours for a half, 404 for a full. Florida's flat. By the way, this bike course, 112 miles, is 6,000 vertical feet of total climbing.
Yeah.
Right? So it adds up. You never, when you go do it, you're like, oh, these are rollers. These are kind of, we're just going like this. It adds up. It's 6,000 total vert. He rides 404. I mean, man, that's essentially 28 miles an hour, and then has to get off and run a marathon.
And he's only 23.
And he's only 23, which when I read that, I thought is what we have, what we are seeing happen in professional cycling, where, you know, the idea that the grand tours, the 3 week races are events in our generation. They were events for guys that were older, you know, late 20s, early 30s, now completely dominated by guys mid to early 20s, even kids in their teens. When I saw that he was 23, I thought, okay, hang on. The same thing is happening. So it is, and I think that was also the thought back in the day with the Ironman, that you just had to have a few of these under your belt. By the way, the men's race had all the podium was all rookies. Chelsea Sodero, a rookie in Kona. So now everything's kind of thrown out. This is what we thought was supposed to be, isn't.
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching, I think, the two Norwegians, Gustav and Christian, dominate like Olympic distance and 70.3. I think, you know, we've been waiting for this opportunity for the last few years to see what they can do over the Ironman. And this, you know, Sam Laidlaw came into the picture and, you know, it's just such exciting racing to watch.
Right. Where, Jimmy, where was Lionel Sanders? I was curious because I was, he was, by all I can, you know, all accounts going in, he was the favorite.
He was certainly the crowd favorite for sure. Okay.
Well, that doesn't matter. But was one of the favorites, but he must have had a bad day.
I didn't speak to him, and I think he did. On paper, he certainly didn't have the bike ride that not on paper, but in reality, he didn't have the bike ride that he's capable of. I don't know why. He was close enough in the swim, I think, right, Leanda? I think he was 4 minutes behind that front group, which is not ideal, but it's not out of the picture.
Yeah, I mean,
he had some company with I think Keenley and Skipper and.
You're right. Yeah, he did have some good guys around him. And it was surprising that he just wasn't anywhere the cyclist that we would expect. And I think that was really where his race was lost, and on the bike. And, you know, athletes are human, right? They do sometimes have off days, and we've seen it with many of the pros in the past. And, I'd chalk this down to one of those days for Lionel.
Mm-hmm. Well, he rides 4:16. I'm looking at the results here on my iPad. He rides 4:16,
which isn't slow.
It's not slow. He gets 37.
Someone riding 4 hours.
Again, go back to this idea that this game has changed. He gets 37th place and does it in 8.5 hours. By the way, all the top 10 men, every single one of them finished under 8 hours.
Yeah, and that was faster than the course record, I think, the first three guys, which was set, you know, back before COVID. So you've got now, like, the run course record's broken, the Ironman course record is broken, and all these guys finishing, like, well below that, like, not just, like, a minute or two, but, like, you know, a big chunk of change, like 5 or so minutes.
What? I think what you said, Lance, too, that the younger generation is coming in with more intel, more information than we had. And I think of all the types of triathlon, Ironman is from a strategy standpoint, I think certainly here, it's pretty simple. You pin it, you know, at the max sustainable power and hope for the best. And that's assuming you're a Blumenfeld or a swim cyclist runner, and you're not somebody that might have to bridge a gap or think that they have to bridge the gap on the bike. To me, it's gotta be the nutrition that's made the biggest difference. And, you know, back in the day, right, I remember the two of us talking about how many calories you needed per hour, which you knew you needed a lot, but there wasn't a food source that you could take that you could tolerate gut-wise. And now I think there's products out there that work better and don't cause as much issues gut-wise. And it's just giving people more oomph from start to finish. And it looks that way when they're out there, you know, they are,
they're attacking the course.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Sebastian Kienle had a great quote, and of course, you know, former winner of this race, who announced that this was going to be his last Ironman and his last race, he's going to retire. And just to put a sort of a pin on what we've been talking about, he says, "I feel absolutely awesome. When I made the announcement that this was going to be my last race in Kona, I wanted to try to win another title. And during that time, it seemed possible. If everything goes right, there's still a chance." And here's what he says. "The sport just developed so quickly in the last 2.5 years, in this little more than 1,000 days since we've been here the last time. Before the race, I never would have thought I would have made the top five, but this was my fastest time. Obviously, we had great conditions, but the race was more than 15 minutes ahead of me, and I like to see that honestly. It's a good way to retire." It's just different. And whether it's the nutrition, whether obviously conditions, you know, everybody can cross their fingers and hope that you have that day, but this is... Yeah. I mean, or, you know, of course, unlike cycling, and Jimmy gut checked me here, but like, the CGM space, these guys, I think, are probably allowed to have some sort of CGM in the race. So is that true or untrue?
I think I did see some out there. Did the Norwegians have, were they wearing a device?
I didn't notice who. Yes, you.
Well, I just saw them looking at their watches constantly, and then with that taking nutrition.
I mean, if and again, you know, these CGM devices and all the different platforms that are out there, Level, Super Sapiens, NutriSense, all of them are not allowed in professional cycling, but
unless you're diabetic, right?
Right. Well, I don't. Yeah. Leanne, I don't really know clearly.
And I don't know if people even know what we're talking about. Continuous glucose monitors in case.
Yeah, so CGMs, continuous glucose yeah. monitors, which are, you know, become a thing. But if you can truly have that that dashboard in front of you and you're seeing your fueling levels real time, it could be really important. I think that's what you were touching on, Jimmy.
Well, I'm not sure if they're using that. I think it's there may be, I'm not sure how they work in real time, if they're super effective, if you're looking at this device. And I know you get real time data, but I don't know how helpful that is. But I think really, I didn't notice a lot of CGMs on the athletes. They may have had them, but that wasn't super apparent to me.
Are they're permitted then, I assume?
They're permitted. There's some rules about how you can monitor the device, right? I mean, you can't have your phone mounted on your handlebars, but nowadays I think you can see all this information maybe through your computer mounted, but certainly through your watch.
Oh, no. Yeah. Absolutely. It syncs up to your head unit, your watch. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, just even that targeting that 90 to even up to 120 grams of carbohydrates an hour, I think a lot of people are looking at their watch to monitor the usual biometrics, but also maybe just as simple as, every 15 minutes, I've got to get in. I mean, think about it, you know, 120 grams of carbs an hour. That's some eating.
It's a lot. And it's like, you know, again, most of us back in the day when I was racing was like 90 was the magic number, but you know, people are pushing that further and further.
Sure. Yeah. It was 40 to 60, you know, 400 calories. If you got 400 calories in an hour without having serious gut issues, you know, you were going to do well. And now, you know, it's the norm.
Wow. Before we go, Jimmy, I just had a question too. Of course, you've been there and you've been there for so many years, and you're obviously very, very close friends with Dinah Burch. And, I've been a part-time resident of the Big Island before. And I just love the place. I mean, the place, it's incredibly special. It was meant to be there, and the air and sort of the, you know, as the locals would say, the mana, right? The soul of that island is really, really special. So, but to split the race up into two parts, and if for anybody that's been on the Big Island or having done the Ironman, you realize that the bike and I guess the run doesn't get down to the airport, but it shuts down the island.
Yeah.
How hard was it for Ironman Corp or Diana or anybody involved to say, you know, because I had to imagine the locals are like, wait a minute, you're shutting down my island, and all the tourists and all the hotels are like, wait, we can't fly in all the tourists. Like, how tough was it and how big of an impact was it to say, oh, we're going to do that twice now?
Well, we'll see here in the next couple of days. But I mean, to the actual, again, you know, just going back to what I said, I mean, there are some people that have been on for weeks, you know, and trying to manage the locals' expectations, the businesses, you know, having it shutting down the town on a work day. And there's diversions from the airport. You can go up, over and down, you know, depending on which resort you're at. But for the most part, they shut down that highway for the better portion of that bike course, you know, with you know, minimal exceptions. And I don't know how they do it, but I know it's a massive ask. And right. And you're gonna piss some people off. You guys know, you're never gonna make everybody happy, but we'll see. I'm hopeful that we can pull this off. I was super impressed. I've got my little pod of volunteers out of the penalty tents. And they came back both days, you know, guns blazing, stopwatches blazing or whatever their role was, but they didn't shy away from the 2 days and they were out there, you know, a greater portion of the day. So the island embraces the 6,000 volunteers.
6,000 volunteers
each day.
Wow.
Each day. Yeah. And you know, most of them come from the island. There are a lot of people that come in and say, hey, especially now with the 2 days, right? I've got somebody racing on Saturday, put me at an aid station on Thursday, and they're out there all day. And then they're on the sidelines cheering their athlete on. So I have no idea how Diana accomplishes what she does. And in part, it's just the team that she has around her and that she's built and that she's been immersed in this island and the culture for so long.
Yeah. Well, she's a legend. She's a legend. And she's back and healthy. And we don't need to get into that. But I love that woman. And I'm so glad she's
still a warrior. Firing.
Yeah.
She's totally a warrior. And has everybody's back. And I can't imagine the weight of that. But she has the islanders back, the locals back, the businesses backs, the athletes backs, and it's I can't imagine how she balances all of that, but I'm just glad she does. And it's part of why I'm hanging around. I was a two hour guy. But I love this event for all the reasons.
Hang on, wait, just time out. What the fuck does that mean, a 2 hour guy?
Want to be out in the
land is like, what are we talking
about? I'm as lost as you are.
In the context like, of triathlon. What are you in the context of triathlon. Sure. I have a short attention.
He's saying he likes the Olympic distance.
Yes. I think that's what he was saying, but you had us there for a second. We were both like, well, what's he talking about?
I got to be careful now.
Do you take 2 hour naps? You like to, you know.
I was actually, you know, interested, like what you were saying, Jimmy. I mean, from the island point of view, yeah, it's a lot of people. And then I've also listened to some of the interviews after the race, like Daniela Ree, for example, said that how having the race on Thursday like drastically impacted the aid stations, how very few people were actually able to volunteer because of it being a work day. And like you said, some of the volunteers, or if not most of the volunteers, do come from the island community. So there's two very different sides of the coin here, that having the split days, how it impacts the race itself.
Those are real points. Like if
no, they are. And
first time we've done this. So there's going to be, as with any new initiative, there's sort of a post, you know, debrief to figure out what worked, what didn't work. Those are real. Those are very real concerns.
Yeah. No, and then I think next year there's meant to be equal women racing age group and pros. I mean, this was the first year that they actually had the same amount of female pros as male pros. But you know, in overall, next year is meant to be equal age group as well. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting how this all plays out in 2023.
It will. And I think that there were a lot of volunteers. I think that care was taken. Again, it's like you're saying, Lance, there's a lot of unknowns, and we've got to get people who volunteered on Thursday coming back on Saturday. And so I think it seemed to me that we or Ironman, not so much me, but Ironman was pretty careful to sensitive of volunteer fatigue, you know, and like you guys are saying, we're going to debrief, figure out what works, what we can change. But I think a lot of care was taken with from a high level view to cater to all these issues that we're talking about. And from my standpoint, I know it was hard because I was in the meetings and I saw the fatigue on people's faces who did not sleep for a week. Literally, you know, you've got to put up a venue, tear it down, set it up for check-in, tear that down, make it a transition area. And it was, you know, sleep 2 hours when you can, get back out in the hot sun. I mean, it was awesome to see. But I think these guys hit it out of the park as far as in my mind, it exceeded the expectations that anybody had for it. And that's from my perspective. I just think the team here did an incredible job, and
good.
They will be even better in 23 for sure.
And I love the fact that, you know, we, you know, it's been, and Sebastian Kienle said it, 1,000 days since we've been back. At least that was his quote, that's raced on the Big Island. I mean, as the pandemic has seemingly thawed, we know that there are still these cases that pop up, but I think, you know, and we all live through this, and we all live through people trying to figure out ways to connect with others and to stay fit. Boy, I was the whole time I said, man, when these people can have the opportunity to line up in a mass start swim and just get elbowed in the face, kicked in the face, you know, run over, like with a
sounds
bunch
like
of,
great.
It sounds like shit. It actually sounds like shit. But the beauty of that is like people want to go back to that. They wanted to get elbowed in the, and, you know, get their goggles knocked off and get kicked in the face. Like they want that. They want that mass start. They want that community. They want that camaraderie. It's so cool to see it back.
You're nailing it. And that vibe was evident, man. And they were, it was the most for a lot of unknowns for the athletes and a lot of differences in how they check in and, you know, everything, even Leander, the athletes racked their own bikes this year, you know,
there were a lot of things that were
slightly different. And I've never seen a more chill vibe here at an overall level at bike check-in. People were, you know, the amp level was toned down, and a lot of it was just people were so psyched to be back, and they were so psyched to get out there. And I mean, the other thing too, is there for 2,500 men on Saturday and not much wind, and people respected everything, you know, the rules of the road leading up to it. Obviously it was crazy the last couple of days, but everybody was aware of, you know, their footprint on this island. And that carried over onto race day. People behaved like I'd never seen before. You know, I mean, no, back in our, you know, in the old days, and mind you, there were 2,500 people going at once instead of a few waves, but you didn't see the curb to curb, the lane to lane groups of cyclists that you saw in the past. You saw people make it a conscious effort all the way around, whether it's being nice to the volunteers, respecting the rules, thanking people, you know, afterwards.
Yeah.
That sense of entitlement, not to bash triathletes, but was toned down a ton, and it was cool to see.
Well, we've been doing this long enough. We can bash them a little.
A little.
Do they still do that run like a few days before everybody runs around like bikinis?
Run.
What is that thing, man?
The underpants run.
Underpants
so funny.
Run.
I was watching it.
Do they still do that? Where, like, you know, get dudes in the Speedos and the girls in the you know, their bikinis? They still do that.
They do it.
Don't act like you wouldn't be. Did you not see the photo?
No, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus again.
Oh, wait.
Shot. I'm not, but I'm just
was
saying.
Is there something, like, I missed here? Did I not see a photo of you doing it, Jimmy?
I think you might have missed it.
Oh, Leander, you
may be the only one, by the way.
Everybody saw that photo. The internet had a moment a couple of days ago, and I was, I was one of the, as I said yesterday on the show, I said, "God damn, people say, it must feel weird having that photo up there." I said, "Yeah, fuck, it feels really weird because I don't look like that anymore. Like if I was like ripped and yoked like that, God, where were we, Jimmy? We were down in St. Croix for the half Ironman.
Yeah."
And we were just about, that was not, we didn't just like throw on our Speedos to take a photo. We were going out for an open water swim. We went out and ripped. And, but I look at that picture. I'm like, God,
no, I remember.
I don't think that's ever coming back. I think I'm done.
No, we were walking down to the.
Leander's looking it up. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, right I'm now? Just like picturing you guys, and it's not good.
No, don't it was do good.
It's like the rock stars that come back in concert like 50 years after their prime.
Axl Rose. You know, you go see Guns N' Roses. It sounds good, but boy, you look up, and you're like, oh shit, is that Axl? Well,
just let me remember you in the good old times. It's much better.
People. Some people thought that photo was taken last week.
Yeah, good. I'm glad they do. And, but no, now we have hair plugs and plus 50 pounds. Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Anyways. All right. This has been amazing. I love this sport. It was my first true love. I still, do all aspects of this sport, swim and bike and run, just don't do them together. But it's fun to watch and it's fun to see the sport evolve. I mean, this is... Again, to go back to the beginning of the show, what started as what seemed like a dare to now almost like it's a sprint, almost like it's an F1 race. It's super.
I really appreciate, and from like a triathlon or triathlete perspective, that you have this on your show now. It's not just, cycling, because I think that just adds to the credibility of this sport and brings it to a bigger audience.
Listen, I mean, these athletes they're some of the best athletes. You have to put, these performances we just saw the last 3 days, if you talk about Kipchoge, if you talk about Pogacar or Vingegaard, you have to talk about these athletes in the same breath. These are not people that could not make it as swimmers or bikers or runners. No, that's done. They are triathletes, right? So they have figured out a way to put the three together. And you have to mention them in the same breath. And that's sort of the spirit of We Do. And and we're seeing the performances that reflect it.
Yeah. It's just going to keep getting better. It's just even more amazing.
What was that, Jimmy?
You were 16. Yeah. When we met.
15.
15. That's what you said you were 16.
Yeah. I lied a little, but I was 15, but, anyways, I don't know where you were going with that.
You got into triathlon early,
right?
And it is good, like Leander said, to see that passion and respect that you have for the athletes is still there, because it does. They deserve it, and you're right. I mean, these athletes, male and female, were bad to the bone on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and this might be, and in fact. This might be the last episode of The Move for a while. I mean, we might do a year-end wrap-up or something, but cycling season seems done. Obviously, put a bow on it here with the Ironman. So it might be a minute. We might not see you guys and gals till the spring for the spring classics. But anyhow, thanks for tuning in. Leander, thank you so much, and good luck at the Ultraman. Go kick those dudes' asses. I just want to be like watching online, be like...
You can watch it online. I don't think Ultraman's quite there yet.
I'll read something on Slow Twitch or one of these or on their site. But best of luck. You're going to kick ass.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And Jimmy, I will see you down in Arizona this winter sometime, because it's about to start snowing here in Colorado and I'm going to have to leave. So
come on down. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, y'all.
See ya.
Cheers.
See ya.